If you have your Bible with you, I want to continue where I left off last time I was sharing with you on what is the hope of his call. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Ephesians 1 verse 17 says here, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that the eyes of your understanding, it says, may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his call and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. What is the hope of his call? What is the hope of his call? I pray that you will know what is the hope of his call on your life. One great thing, one great comfort for my life is to know that it's not the hope of my call, that I somehow haven't created a path for my life, that I haven't somehow had to manufacture something, put it together. No, it's the hope of his call. It's his call on my life. And if I say yes, then that's really all I need to do then is whatever he tells me after that. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. But the Bible calls hope something different to what we call hope. If you turn real quick, we're going to have some machine gun preaching this morning with a lot of scripture. So Romans chapter 4, if you could find that, Romans chapter 4. And we are going to look at something that the Bible talks about, because there's two types of hope. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, in fact, let's start at 16, please. Romans 4, 16. It says, for this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, the uncommon favor of God, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you, in the sight of whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. 18, in hope, against hope, he believed. So there must be two types of hope. Amen. For that statement in Scripture to be correct, there must be two types of hope. Because if you've got one type of hope fighting against another type of hope, then that means there's how many of them? Two. Have you ever tried to fight yourself? My son Benji is the only man in history to have slide-tackled himself in football. I don't even know how he did it. His legs got all twisted up and he slid-tackled himself. But that's very difficult. It's very, very difficult to fight yourself. And so the Bible says, in hope he believed against hope. So there was one type of hope fighting against another type of hope. So there was a natural hope fighting against a supernatural hope. It's really important to understand this, because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you've ever seen somebody with a really sick, really depressed heart, it's because they hoped for something that didn't come to pass. You see, but that kind of hope is natural hope. How do I know that? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that the kind of hope that God gives us, this kind of hope, does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by Christ Jesus. So we need, many times when we're hoping for something, or we would say, you know, we have this Christian vernacular, oh yes, well, I'm believing God for something. That's a good way to put it, right? But we've got to make sure that we are believing God using supernatural hope rather than natural hope. The first thing that stepping over from natural hope into supernatural hope will do for you is to bring you disappointments and tribulations. First thing. The first step on the road to supernatural hope. Why am I talking to you about this morning? Right. The Bible says that we may know what is the hope of his call, right? But it also talks about the fact that hope and faith are connected. Faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. So if you haven't hoped for something supernaturally, it's impossible to have the faith for it. So there's a process. And the first thing that hope starts with, according to the Word of God, is trouble. Are you ready for this morning?
Yes.
Nudge your neighbor and ask them, are you ready for trouble? Look at this. Look, Romans chapter 5. This is going to be a machine gun lesson this morning. You can receive it free on harvestchurch.org.uk on the podcast afterwards, because it's one of them things you might need to run through time and time again, because I've got like 4.5 hours worth of scripture to deliver to you in about 35 minutes. Otherwise, KFC will be missing some of you. They'll say, oh, where's that tither who comes in? And okay. It's not even KFC, is it? Let's be honest. It's burnt oak chicken. Lord have mercy. The Harvest Church minibus parked outside Sam's Chicken every Sunday. Can you imagine? They go, Church Sam's football pitch. Bless Jesus. Hallelujah. We won't name any names, Kamal. Glory to God. Romans. Look at this now. Look at this. Look at this. Let's start at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, okay? Just to give you a bit of background. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this uncommon favor in which we stand. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Then he explains the process of exulting in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. When trouble comes our way, what does it say? No matter what they say, if trouble comes my way, I will praise the Lord. It's a good way to be. Not only this, verse 3, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character, and proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And you can take that a stage further by cutting that scripture and pasting it into Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Because it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So Hebrews 11, 1 is a continuation of Romans 5 that we've just read. Because if you can get over from natural hope will disappoint you. Or at least it has the potential to disappoint you. But supernatural hope, that picture that God develops in your spirit by the Holy Spirit of your future, when that picture develops, and when you turn that series of pictures into a movie, and you see God's plan for your life coming to pass, then nothing can actually stop that. Nothing. The Bible says hope doesn't disappoint us, right? Many people, they will come across a struggle. They will hope. Let's say, for instance, you've been married for years, you're believing God for a baby, and you know you're in the process, you've gone to the doctor, and they've told you medically what might be wrong, and they've said, you know, this, that, and the other, and we'll try this, we'll try that, we'll try the other. Well, that's natural hope. Do you see what I mean? Now, that thing, that can bring about disappointments. There's couples I know believing God for years, and it's bringing about disappointment continually. You see, back in the days of Abraham, he didn't even have that opportunity. There was no such thing as medical science. You could go see some witch who'd dip you in the river or something, or, you know, somebody would shake like chili powder over you and kindoki and or throw bones. Oh, my gosh. Like, where do they get this nonsense from? One time I was fighting in the spirit. This demon spirit woke me up. I saw this guy. I even know his name. Cross-legged, sitting there, bringing up curses and throwing bones and sticks and stuff like that, like shuffling them. You know the way they will roll the dice in Vegas in a pot? And he was shaking these things and then throwing them out and pronouncing curses over me. Shaking these things, throwing them out, pronouncing curses over me again. And this scripture just came up in my spirit right then when I woke up. And the Lord said this to me. He said, the wicked shall gnash their teeth and melt away. So I just went back to sleep. And that was it. That was the end of the story. I mean, there's no, you know, like, that's it. It's like, because it's all born from the same nonsense. Do you understand? All that kind of rituality and stuff like that. But you see, the supernatural element to life is what we have to tap into more and more. We have to take that journey of faith called hope. Does that make sense? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, faith comes by hearing. But hope comes by seeing. There's a really distinctive difference, and not many people know the difference. We can get confused. You know, we have to treat our faith like a mechanic would treat a spanner. We have to treat a faith project the way that an architect or a design and build builder would go about designing and building a house. You can do that with your faith. It's not some random accident that things happen. I mean, blessings happen by like accident or whatever, you know, something unexpected, absolutely. But this deliberate journey of faith that God gives us, mapped out in the life of our father Abraham, can be reapplied in our lives. That's how I've treated my life. How can I put it? Virtually everything I've done in life for God, virtually every blessing that I have received from God, I have received deliberately. I've received it on purpose. Does that make sense? I don't want to leave my life to the dice, even though in the hands of God, the dice is loaded. Amen. But I don't want to leave my life to chance. God, there's something about chance that God doesn't like. That's why lottery... Jesus, deliver you all from the lottery in Jesus' mighty name. If you play that thing, it's a key to poverty. I can hear people tearing up their tickets in the spirit right now. Have you seen that? There's a video going round of this lady who's bought 5 lottery tickets. Have you seen that one? And she lays out the lottery tickets on her bed. I wish I had it on YouTube. And she's saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, you have destined me to choose these numbers from long ago. And then there's another video clip, the same woman with a big plate of God only knows what. I'm sure there's pounded yam there, igusi, some nyam choms on the side just for the Kenyan flavor. You name it, and it's a pile of carbs this big. And she said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every calorie from this thing in Jesus' name. I call it zero calorie. You can understand. And, you know, the camera, unfortunately, the camera doesn't pan around to see the size of this person, but, you know, the rest you can make up in your own mind. You see, that we can't treat life like that. We can't treat life like a series of accidents or anything like that. We have to go about our lives deliberately and walk with the Lord in accordance to the faith of Abraham. Now, I said faith comes by hearing, hope comes by seeing. So Genesis 15, he says, look up, Abraham, and see the stars. Genesis 14, he says, look down and see the dust of the earth. So shall thy seed be. Now, this is a guy who's gone to the fertility clinic. He's gone to the witch. He's gone to the sun and the moon that they used to worship before God called him. And now God has called him. He says, look, come out from your father's house. Leave your father and your mother's house and go to the land that I'm showing to you. I will bless you and make you a blessing. And all the nations of the earth will bless them. And your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth and as numerous as the stars of the heavens. So in other words, the picture in Abraham's mind is changing. That's supernatural hope. The natural hope is still there. His wife's getting older. He's getting older. Like Prophet Nana says, it's like mama pause. What do you call it? Menopause and mama pause as well, times two, because like they're now like 99 years old and 100. That is some miracle. You know, which is it easier for you, for you to finally get married or for a 100-year-old man to have a baby? Which is easier, for you to get promoted or for a 100-year-old man to have a baby? Which is easier? Way easier. You see, to God, we think, oh, Lord, you know, this is like a mountain. How can I ever you know, I'm approaching my 34th birthday. How can I ever get married? You know, where is my wife coming from? It's not just a husband. People think it's a husband thing. It's a wife thing too. Yeah. Trust me. And you see, we present these mountains, right? And in the spirit, the Lord is like, it's like Diana Ross singing, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley deep enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me, I'll sing it myself, to keep me from you, hallelujah, ain't no, I wish I had my tambourine now, ain't, and Ibby's wig, ain't, where's the wig, man? I haven't got the wig and the shoe. And so that's the nature of hope on the inside of us. The supernatural hope on the inside of us is the thing that's contradicting the natural hope. Natural hope, you see, it can defer. It can make your heart sick. The supernatural hope is a different thing entirely. Supernatural hope is based on the Word of God. The supernatural hope of the Word comes against the natural hope of everything is lost. Sometime or other, your natural hope will let you down. And that's what's called tribulation. And from that tribulation comes about perseverance. And from that perseverance comes about character. And from that character comes about hope. And hope, you see, you change tracks. It's like where the signal man just pulls the thing, supernatural hope is there. You change tracks and suddenly now you're on the right track. And the Bible says that that kind of hope doesn't disappoint us because it comes from God. That kind of hope comes by seeing, but it's not a natural seeing. Because the Bible says in Romans 8, hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, the natural hope, the natural kind of thing, which man hopes, he says, for what he sees. Can you imagine like saying, you know, oh, I wish I had a shirt that looks like tandoori wallpaper. Why bother? I've got one. You understand? Like that kind of hope that's seen, that's not hope at all. That's like craziness. You'd cart me off somewhere for counseling or something if I started saying that. Right. So that kind of hope, that's not what we're talking about. I can't hope for a nice car. I've got one. I could hope for a nicer car. Do you understand? I can't hope for a nice wife. I've got one. I could hope. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. So I had to get that one in. Don't you dare hope for a nicer wife unless it's the same one transformed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You see, now, I looked at the examples. That God gave me three examples to go into. And the first one is this, right? Concerning the death of a child. You can't get much more traumatic than that in a person's life, right? And you hear people say, oh, you know, one thing, you never recover from the death of a child. No, you never recover from the death of a child. You see, but I have a problem with that, right? The Bible says he bore our griefs. So when somebody says something like that, my spirit, because of the Word of God that's in my spirit challenges that thing. And he says, hang on a second, that's you know, I'm sorry, like if I'm going to burst your bubbles or if I'm going to make any person that's actually lost a child in traumatic circumstances or whatever upset or anything like that, then, you know, like I'm sorry, but the Bible says he bore my griefs. He himself carried my sorrows. So I see Jesus climbing that hill to hang on a cross, not only for my sins, but also for my sicknesses. Not only for my sicknesses, but also my sorrows and also my griefs. And I can't change that picture because it's painted there by the Word of God on the inside of me. So that picture on the inside becomes greater than the tribulation on the outside. May you never stand over the grave of your children. It's a horrible thing to do. I've done it. Two-year-old child, bang, many of you know the testimony. Right, but standing there, and this thing on the inside, my spirit won't let the Word of God go that says he bore my griefs. She's not coming back. She's been 10 days dead, or however long it was, 9 days after she died was her funeral. And so I'm standing there over the grave, and the earth is, they get that thing where you put the dirt and all that kind of stuff. But yet on the inside of me, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Don't worry, I'll sing this one as well. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. And I can't, somehow I'm staring at natural circumstances. You can't get much more tribulation than that. That's why I used it as an example. That's proper tribulating. When you're standing there over the grave of your... I mean, you know, the box has the nameplate of your surname on the thing. Hey, you've gone very quiet. And so I'm standing there, but this thing, this thing on the inside, what the Bible calls supernatural hope. Yes. You see, that tribulation brought about perseverance. I refuse to go down in flames. I don't care what the devil does. My God will be proved true, and the devil will be a liar. And that's that, that's that, that's that. End of story. And so that perseverance caused me to dig into the Word of God. The Bible says, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. She's with the Lord. 1,000 years is like one day with the Lord. So as far as she's concerned, we're gone about 40 minutes. And as far as I'm concerned, I'll pick up the picture when I get to heaven. If I can't raise her here because the devil intervened, I'll raise her there. Do you understand? And so that hope from deep within produced a perseverance. That perseverance brought about a particular type of character. You know, oh, well, he's quite a steely individual. That's where people get inner steel from sometimes. It's, you know, I don't know any other way to get that kind of inner resolve. That the look on your faces, if I could just pan the camera around now to the, oh, Pastor P, Sunday morning, come on. If there was any other way, if there was somehow that you could just sidestep every tribulation that came your way, then God would have found it. I'm sure. But Jesus said this. He said, he who hears my word and does it is like the man who built his house on the rock. The wind came. That's trouble from the side. The rain came, that's trouble from above. And the flood came, that's trouble from beneath. How many of you have been there before? Like, it's like the wind is blowing, the rain is falling, and the flood is coming up. And you don't know which way to go, right? And he said, he that hears my word and does it. So hearing the word and doing the word doesn't disqualify us from tribulation. In fact, Jesus said it. He says, when you're in the world, he says, you have tribulation. But what? Fear not. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. So whatever the devil can throw at you, God can throw something greater back. And actually, do you know what the God wants to throw back many times? You. It's interesting, isn't it? The stuff you go through in life, the pains and the traumas and the tribulations, really, in the heart of God, if that supernatural hope develops on the inside of you, God takes you and throws it back at the devil. You become bread to the nations. Hallelujah. So out of this, right? Out of this, it's like coming out of the furnace. You come out, you don't even smell a smoke. The fiery trials, Peter says, he says, behold what fiery trials and tribulations you have. Wow. So, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, you come out of that furnace, you're not even smelling the smoke. People think, life's been so easy to him. Don't I look like life's been... Oh, maybe don't answer that to that. Okay. But some people can say, oh, yes, he's an overnight success. And they don't know the years of hope, the years of sitting alone in the presence of God, that time spent in the Word, allowing, as Colossians says, allowing the Word of God to dwell in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. You see, God's Word, if you like, the movie, the DVD of God's Word, because hope comes by seeing, faith comes by hearing, but hope comes by seeing. The DVD of God's Word needs to play on the inside of you to this extent that it builds that perseverance, it builds that character, and it builds that hope so that that hope doesn't disappoint you. Hallelujah. So people said to me, you know, you'll never get over the death of a child. But I can stand today, hand on heart, and say that is categorically untrue in the light of God's Word. Categorically untrue. People think, you know, oh, well, he's going to go home and have a little cry afterwards because, you know, he mentioned his daughter or whatever. But not at all. Literally, I mean, there's times now, God forbid, some people might think this is like almost sacrilege. There's been times I've even forgotten when her birthday was. And some people, it's like a shrine. Oh, it's so-and-so's birthday. Praise God. Well, what about the day when they went to be with the Lord and rejoice? Start there rejoicing. Start there. There's tribulation everywhere. Yesterday in Kenya, people going out shopping. Me and Benji were in that KFC 3 weeks ago. In Westgate, the shopping center, you know, there's a KFC, and they do these ugali balls. Hey, mummy. No wonder the devil was mad. We had such fun in that place. They do ugali balls with gravy in KFC. None of this Sam's Chicken Cottage $2.99 thing. This proper ugali. Hey, imagine. The devil's mad. The devil's crazy. So we need to be, let me tell you, the biggest preparation that you can have for this kind of life is spiritual warfare. Because as far as the devil's concerned, the gloves are off. That is really and truly true. The gloves are off. So we have to learn how to bind the devil. This is a warfare generation. It's a wake up in your spirit generation and war for righteousness, for justice, for truth, for humility, for all those things that please God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So that's the first lie that hope disproves. You cannot get over the death of a child. I just couldn't think of anything more traumatic to display how hope helps you get over that thing. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Right now, let's do a little exercise. If you have, in fact, everybody close your eyes. I trust you're not going to go sleep. If you are, when we wake up, when our eyes open and yours are still shut, I'll just get your neighbor to bop you one on the head. Okay. Close your eyes right now. And if you've had a trauma in your life, it may have been the trauma of divorce. It may have been the trauma of seeing your children go through something awful. It may have been the death of a child. It may have been it may have been anything that has marked your life. See God. See Jesus walking up that hill to hang on a cross. See him bearing your griefs right now. See him carrying your sorrows right now. See the very thing that caused all that trauma being borne on his shoulders right now. You see, that is what the Bible calls hope. You right now are playing a movie of something that happened in the spirit 2,000 years ago. That Jesus himself is bearing your griefs. Jesus himself is carrying your sorrows. Right. Now, if you all open your eyes, because I don't want you dozing now because it's nice and warm in here. But if you do that exercise, now that's a five-second exercise we've done. I've done this for hours at home. In fact, my wife used to, we couldn't even pray together. We've prayed together since we've been married maybe, what, twice, three times? Okay, yeah, we did. That's right, every Friday. Did we? Okay, I don't remember that one. It's obviously too traumatic to remember. But you see, I pray so different to her. She's all warfare and pepper the devil and everything like that. But I don't mean flavor him. I mean pepper him with, you know. Sorry, too much Black Ops. Anyone play Call of Duty Black Ops? Hey! I was playing that thing a few weeks ago before a prayer meeting. That is not the right thing to do, my brother. Trust me. I was playing Call of Duty Black Ops before Friday night prayer meeting. So I came in here, I closed my eyes. All I could see was guns and bullets and helicopters coming. I said, Jesus, no, not before prayer. Why, it had marked my imagery. I'm talking about the wrong kind of hope, you understand? You see, but if you imagine that exercise that we've just done, right, and you take the principle of that exercise on board. Joey is all warfare. She's all bullets and guns and everything like that, or else like tears and emotion and everything like that. Me, I'll sit there. I might sit there an hour, and I'll have an image playing in my spirit that God has given me, built from his word. It might be about me going to the nations. I saw the president of Ghana in the spirit long before I saw him in the natural. And I knew I'd meet him. And, you know, I described a couple of things. And I saw some other things that happened to me on the same day. And, you know, it was like God just put the thing together supernaturally. God can do that. Do you see what I mean? But there's things, you see, that you allow the picture to develop into a movie on the inside of you. And then God will fill in the details. One thing I love about that whole principle, the Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Do you understand? So I'm thinking in this direction. I'm thinking the word of God. I'm thinking the blessing of God, the favor of God, the prosperity of God, the healing power of God, the anointing of God coming into my life. God is filling in the details and he's doing exceeding abundantly more than I can ask or think. So allow your spirit to develop in that way. Your prayer time shouldn't be all, you know, back in the day in the Catholic Church, Hail Holy Queen, whatever, and ever amen, whatever, that kind of stuff. You know, it shouldn't be a repetitious thing. It should be spirit-led. But allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. In whatever form that takes, allow it to happen. Let the word of God, he says in Proverbs 4, he says, my son, hearken to my sayings. Pay attention to my words. He says, set them before your eyes. Put up Proverbs 4, please, Liz, in the back, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Verse 2, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Now flip down to verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. So that's your ear, right? Look what he says. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21. Do not let them depart from where? From your sight. Now, the Jews literally took that literally. So you can go up Stamford Hill and you can see these Jewish guys. They'll walk along. They've got this thing strapped to their head, a little box strapped to their head, which contains words from the Old Testament. But you see, that's not what God was talking about. He's saying, keep my words in the midst of your eyes. If that was what God was talking about, then they should put it right in the midst of their eyes and then just bang into everything in life. Do you understand? He's talking about having that video playing. What is the hope of his call? What is the video of his call playing on the inside of you, so that no matter what you're going through in the natural, the video of the hope of his call is playing and playing and playing and playing and playing. And it gets to a stage that where you are more visual in a supernatural way than you are in a natural way. You're seeing more in the spirit than you are in the natural. You're more interested in the spiritual things because they're the things of tomorrow. They're the things of truth. They're the things that last forever. The Bible says the things that we see outwardly are temporal. They're subject to change. But the things which are eternal, the things which are unseen with the natural eye, but seen with the supernatural eye, are eternal. So that's the primary focus of our nature, should be towards supernatural things, right? So they say, right, you'll never get over the death of a child. Here's another one. Ha. This is for every ghetto boy in the house. Praise God Almighty. Thank God for the ghetto. Thank God for the ghetto. You know why? Because the only way is up. That's one great thing about growing up in London N15. The only way was up. Praise Jesus. Sorry, if you're living in, you know the score. Anyway, I don't have to tell you nothing if you live in N15, man. You know the truth yourself. Right. So they will tell you N15 postcode. There's no such thing as promotion in life for you. You are a bottom feeder. You are a prawn in the great sea of ambition. You know, are you quiet because you know I'm telling the truth? Or are you quiet because it's like, Pastor P, you know, that's the truth. Well, it might not be N15. It's not only N15. Where were you from? Hackney boy. Where was it? E what? E9. There you go. There you go. That's just the way it is. You guys are quiet. You're from Hackney. Hey, Hackney boy. It's like, you remember when Peter denied Jesus? It's like, I ain't from there. What are you talking about? And the Bible says he even started cussing. I ain't from that place. They'll tell you. That's the honest truth. That's the honest truth. But you know what? I found a scripture. Romans chapter 9. It says, it is neither he that willeth, nor he that runneth, but God that shows mercy unto all. So I knew that there was a portion of mercy that would get me out from where I was. It could take me out of my father's house into the land that God was showing to me. Praise the living God. Praise God. God wants to take everyone at the God is the greatest ghetto emptier in the history of mankind. The Bible says it. He sets the lowly. He takes the lowly from the ash heap and he puts them to sit among kings. That's the God I know. And I remember, you know, the starting gun would go off, right? And I got this job. I don't even still know how I got it. I mentioned the fact that I cycle to work on when there's a tube strike. This was 1989 when all the tube strikes were happening. London Underground used to be able to bring this city to a standstill. And there was tube strike after tube strike. And I remember in this job interview that I went for Lloyd's Bank. Now, this is N15 postcode, 2 O-level, spotty fried chicken self. Standing in there with some cheap suit from CNA. Hey! How many of you don't even remember CNA? Put your hand up if you remember. Don't put your hand up. It's embarrassing. You might have shopped there. It's even worse than Primark, some of their stuff. Oh, my gosh. You talk about wear it once. The thing used to fall off you when you wear it once. It was made of this toweling material, so it was, like, really thick. And it was August I went for the job. And I was sweating. Oh, my gosh. And not only that, but when you sweat and you're wearing this cheap suit, I'll be itchy, like my legs would be. So I'd be, like, walking like this, you know, like some gangster rapper, you know. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, so I get to this interview and I talk about cycling to work because I live in Tottenham and the city of London is virtually just downhill straight into London. And the guy gives me the job. And, you know, like Lloyd's Bank, there was like 54 of us recruited within a one-month period, right? And we were all, like, working hard. But it reminded me, some of the guys, I mean, you talk about grovelers. You ever work with a groveler? Somebody who just thinks they're going to get by just, you know, we used to call it brown tongue or something kissing, but we can't say that because of being in the house of God. Something or other, they were just like, and it reminded me, do you ever watch that film Cool Hand Luke with Paul Newman, where he's the prisoner and he has to shake the tree to prove that he's still, he's like, over here, boss, I'm still, what did he say? I'm shaking it, boss. I'm shaking it here, boss. In other words, I'm still behind the tree. I haven't run off, you know, I'm doing my wee-wee and coming back. And boy, this is some church service, isn't it? My goodness me. And so, like, they would just grovel and grovel and grovel. But all the time, in my spirit, I'm hearing this word from God. It's not he that willeth. It's not he that runneth. But it's God who shows mercy unto all. Now, the recession hit in the early 90s really bad. Somebody predicted that there would be 50,000 job losses within financial services after the stock market crash of 87. And it took 4 years for that word to come through. They laid off 54 of the people in my office and they promoted me. And I didn't grovel. I wasn't a grovel. I wasn't a crawler or a groveler. It was literally the favor of God, the uncommon favor of God. Why? That scripture had turned into a movie of my promotion. It's not he that willeth, nor he that runneth, but God who showeth mercy unto all. So the starting gun went off, and we were all running, and we were all willing, but God showed mercy unto me. Do you understand what I mean? So let your qualifications or your lack of qualifications, in my case, not be a hindrance to your life. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. Can you say amen? God loads the dice in our favor. He loads the decks in our favor, but we've got to learn how to operate it. We've got to learn like the way a mechanic would fix a car, mechanically. We've got to put our faith to work mechanically. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, look at this final example. I just want you to turn to the book of Esther. This is one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. You talk about the favor of God. Oh, my word. Praise his holy name. Esther, where are you? Right. Now, look at this. Anything and everything that could be against this young girl is against her, right? You think about this. She is an orphan girl. She has no father and she has no mother, right? She's adopted by an uncle who just takes her in and has pity on her, and she works for him as like a house girl. That's why we've got to treat our house people very well, because you don't know what they'll become. They could come back and slap you one. So she's adopted. She's an orphan. She's adopted by her uncle in the house, and she is a house girl, right? Then she is growing up in a despised culture. The Jews were despised by the people of Persia in the area that she was growing up. They were absolutely despised. They were like rats. Right? Then, on top of that, the nation that she's part of, the Jewish race, is a captive nation. They've been overrun, and they have been completely and utterly dominated, virtually annihilated, but there's a bunch of them in this area called Susa. That's Esther's story, right? Now, look at the way that God puts this together. In verse 7 of chapter 2, Esther 2, verse 7, I love this. Esther 2:7, it says, and he was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, because she had a Hebrew name, and then she had a stargazer name as well. And he was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. Look at the next sentence. Now the young lady was beautiful. Everything was against her, except she was beautiful. And then about 4 or 5 verses down the line, it says, and there was a beauty competition. In other words, there wasn't a mathematics competition. Do you understand? There wasn't a genius in politics competition. There wasn't a civil engineer that was needed. They needed somebody who was what? Beautiful. And she happened to be beautiful. I wonder who set that up. I wonder who put that one together. It is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, Lord, we lift up your word today, and I ask that afresh, Heavenly Father, that the seeds of supernatural hope would come into the lives of your people. Father, it's not about being clever. If it was about being clever, then we wouldn't even feature. It's not even about, Lord God, being anything in the natural that we could be, but it's about being close to you, Heavenly Father. It's about having your word dwelling on the inside of us in all wisdom and understanding. It's you can fix things, God, just like you did for Esther. Just like you had a beauty contest for the most beautiful woman going. Just like you set that up, Heavenly Father, for Esther. Lord, I claim a supernatural setup for every one of your people that will put their hope to work in the name of Jesus. Lord God, your word says that this hope we have as the anchor of the soul, this hope we have as the anchor of the soul, a sure and steadfast thing, one which enters within the veil. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you show us how to project our faith within the veil, Lord God, that you show us how to project our hope, that video, Lord God, that plays continually, that helps us through those times of trouble, that holds us fast. Father, so many times we think that we're the ones holding on to you, but I thank you, Lord God, that you are the one holding on to us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand upon us, Lord God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand upon us, Lord God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand upon us, Lord God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand upon us, Lord God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand upon us, Lord God. I thank you, mighty God, for your hand upon us, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your hand upon us, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand upon us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your hand upon us, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God, for your hand upon us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessing, for your favor. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your favor and your goodness and your love, which lasts from generation to generation. Thank you, mighty God, for the things that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power at work on the inside of us, Lord God. Where you see us weak, Father, where you see us weak, you impart strength, Heavenly Father. Where you see us unable, you park ability, Lord God. You place ability on the inside of us. You take us, Lord God, from strength to strength, and from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. From faith to faith, and from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. Let your light shine upon us, Heavenly Father. And let that hope shine, Father, among us in the name of Jesus. Let your power be manifest in our weakness, Heavenly Father. Because when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am unable, your ability kicks in, Heavenly Father, and manufactures the power, Lord God, to bring us to the next level. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness. Thank you for your dynamic word at work on the inside of us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen.